Hi, this is Fred Migliori. Brian Rivers is in a league of his own when it comes to composing and performing music. Brian's use of personal observation, combined with his wisdom and ability to paint a great visual in each of his songs, is quite stunning. And it all comes together on his newest CD titled The Boom. The title track is a humorous but also melancholy look at our sitcom heroes and how their lives might have changed beyond the end of their shows into the new millennium. One Roman Holiday is the love story that was never meant to be. It's a beautifully detailed song that might remind you of a similar personal experience through its vivid depiction of the characters and the architecture of its setting. Join me for a few minutes as we look into a small opening into the window of Brian's journey with the new CD, The Boom. You'll be glad you did.
You knew that the rain must fall. Walking the wall, so casually you'd slide between a hard place and a rock. And
the song we're listening to right now, Brian, is the first one, Roll On. Tell me a little bit about this song. It seems like you added everything perfectly. How do you know when to stop?
I do it by feel. It's totally intuitive. I had an idea of where I wanted to go. I heard it kind of as a Buffalo Springfield song, maybe, or a Crosby, Stills, Nash, some that kind of influence. I heard it that way. The vocals were done by myself and one other person. That song is, believe it or not, about Steve McQueen. And as a kid, I just really worshiped the guy. And there's something that came through in his acting. I didn't realize till later that he was sort of a street urchin in the Depression. And that comes through in his acting, that he's just a guy who's been roughed up, but he's going to stand right back up and take some more.
And just when Wally and the Beef found that father knew best and asked what they could do for their country, Eddie asked Miss Cleaver what got into her beaver, who had joined the Marines with Lumpy. I dreamed of Jeannie one hard day's night, the day after Camelot fell. I remember the innocence lost that day that came with a license to kill.
I chose The Boom as the title song because it really is the center of the album. It starts in the early 60s when I was a small child and goes almost up to the present, goes up to 2000. It has everything that we shared growing up together. It takes baby boom icons that we watched week in and week out on TV and takes them beyond those experiences that they were in just in 60 sitcoms and evolves those characters throughout time in ways that we ourselves evolved, in ways that we saw that our friends were evolving.
But the bloom was off the apple. We heard that beaver died in Vietnam. As Archie stood firm by his president, the storm before the calm, Gidget ran off with a bandit. She grew up before our very eyes. Opie turned Richie and turned the camera around in a very Brady surprise.
What do you hope that people get out of this song?
A sense of history more than anything else. I think there's not a message that comes from it. But again, as I have the characters evolve, maybe we can see how we have evolved as a culture during that period of time.
Lady Liberty, staring out to sea, do you carry a torch for me? All these years standing alone, as if your heart were made of stone. Don't you also yearn to be free? To be free.
I had about 32 songs to choose from going into this project, although I think I probably in my mind had it narrowed down to about 20. The producer had it narrowed down even farther than that. He was really the left brain of the project, which is good because that freed me up to be pretty much the right brain in every other aspect. Then it was really a matter of choosing the songs that we felt just kind of belong together. In one sense, this is an album of a lot of different kinds of songs and themes, and those have been my favorite albums. You didn't know what you were going to get in the next song. On the other hand, a lot of the songs seem to relate around the baby boom icons and the media that we were all exposed to growing up in between the 1960s to about the year 2000. So there were other songs that seemed to fit and complement that well, but that were really different from it.
To be free. To be free. I heard the news today that you had gone away. You always said that none of this could last. And if my guitar gently wept, I know all good things come to pass. But you were the quiet
one. I wrote The Quiet One out of a great love for the Beatles, and especially George, who was the quiet one. I remember really well when I was 9 years old and the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan. I was standing there with my brothers playing our tennis rackets. I was Paul because I was playing a left-handed tennis racket, and actually was very self-conscious about it until I realized that there was one guy playing a left-handed guitar. They stayed with me ever since, and I never thought that all these years later they would still be so much a part of my life.
And all those boys who thought you really were a drag, they couldn't see you had another path.
Was producing this CD a friendly process for you?
Yeah, I think so. It was in kind of layers. We did a lot of it out in California and then some in Florida. There weren't too many surprises. We pretty much laid out what I had in mind. And sometimes there were surprises. There were songs that ended up with maybe light percussion that I just thought of as being me and my guitar. And then there are other songs that I imagine really big production that didn't really need it so much. But all in all, they all came out pretty much the way I would have expected.
So fast, so long ago.
Brian, the song One Roman Holiday, there are some artists that really have a craft at presenting stories like this in a song, and there are others that only attempt. But you have nailed it so incredibly, so visually, depicting these two characters in this song and also the beautiful setting that you put them in. I mean, that's just so powerful. Tell me about this song.
The title of the song, One Roman Holiday, comes from Roman Holiday, which was an Audrey Hepburn, Gregory Peck movie. And it was about two people who fall for each other, but they come from different worlds, and they know that they come from different worlds. And what happens when reality collides with romance? How do you make something like that work when you come from totally different places? Or, conversely, how do you let go? I had the story take place in Paris entirely. That was a little bit of artistic license doing that, because you can't have a story taking place in Heidelberg or Stuttgart. Most people have some kind of romance or something like that in their past, some kind of experience where they don't really know what the rules are. It doesn't have to be in Paris, or it doesn't have to be on aboard a ship. It can be somebody you meet in a bus station. It doesn't really matter. Most people have some kind of experience like that.
Julianne left Bradleyville to see the world, with college graduation just behind. She packed her summer up into a duffel bag, and shoes strung round on apples, bread and wine. She had some dust to shake off from her hometown. She had to lose herself in order to be found. She had things to do before she would settle down back in that old town again.
I never know why people gravitate towards one song, why one song resonates with people, but that one seems to be a strong one, and a lot of people will come to me and say, that reminds me of a time when, and they'll tell me their story. And I like that, when I can elicit that response from people and hear their stories. That's a kind of a nice little victory for me.
Late at night, I lie awake, counting the stars alone. Pace the floor, counting the day. till you will come back home.
When you look at a piece of music like this, this whole recording, and you realize that, okay, it's finished, you're walking away from it, it's out there and you can't take it back, does it ever occur to you that you have contributed something to this universe that maybe many others only wish they could?
Absolutely. I do that all the time. In fact, I consciously do it, not at the song level. When I write a song, I just let the song sort of come to me and chip away at it the way, you know, Michelangelo chipped away at a sculpture. Very often he would let it sort of find itself. That's the way I do with a song. Sometimes by the time I get to the end of a song, it's not what I thought it was going to be when I started. But when this as a product, doing this album as a body of work, I thought about that very much.
Rain don't stop, the grass is high, the sun don't seem to rise. The walls are bare in this empty old house, I only see your eyes.
And that concludes our journey through the making of The Boom, the newest CD from Brian Rivers. If you're from radio or print media and would like a promotional copy of the CD, call me. The toll-free number is 800-341-1480, and our website address is fastforwardartistpromo.com. If you're a listener who's just become a fan of Brian Rivers in the last few minutes, you can purchase The Boom at his website, which is brianrivers.com. That's BryanRivers.com. This is Fred Migliori. Until next time.
Just roll on.
What message do you hope that people will get from listening to the CD?
I like albums that are lyrically driven. The albums from the 70s, and I hope this isn't, I'm not a throwback, but I remember when I used to get albums, and of course they were the big covers, first thing I'd do is pull the songs out and I would listen and I would look at the words, because I wanted there to be a higher meaning to the album. And I don't find too many albums that have that these days. So I just really wanted something that people listened to and maybe took something that resonated with them over a period of time.